Let me pray. Lord God, we ask that you would make us the salt of the earth, make us the light of the world, make us your hands and your feet, that glory would come to you. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, when Jesus described his disciples as the salt of the earth and the light of the world in Matthew 5, 13 to 16, he meant that they were to profoundly influence the world in his name, profoundly touch the world in which they live, locally and even globally. Most of us won't go overseas, but most of us can impact the world overseas by how we give, how we pray, and how we send others. And in the midst of evil and hatred and violence, sickness and terror and gossip and abuse and poverty and rebellion toward God, Jesus called his disciples here in the Sermon on the Mount, beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, to be men and women, at least for those guys, men of profound influence, to live in such a way that glory would go to God. You see, the teaching on the salt and the light follows what we call the Beatitudes, where Jesus describes people who are now part of God's kingdom. I understand if they are kingdom people, part of God's kingdom, under God's kingship, the type of characteristics that ought to characterize their lives. It says, because you're meant to be radically different, Christ-centered, Christ-imitating in your lifestyle, you would have an influence in our schools, in our universities, in our offices, in our factories, on our sporting fields, in our communities, in our homes, that you would have an influence. Now, I remember Chuck Swindoll in his book Simple Faith says, if we took Jesus seriously, people around us, even in our local neighbourhoods, would say these things. How come they live in the same place I live in, but they are able to live a different kind of life? How is it that they conquer that bad habit, but I can't? Why is their love so deep and lasting and ours so shallow and fickle? How is it that she can forgive and never hold a grudge, but I can't get over a wrong? He says they ought to say, talk about kindness and courtesy. These people exude those things. I wonder why. Where does it come from? Or they say, where did I miss out on mercy? They have so much more compassion and patience than anyone I've known. Friends, when we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ and we are touched by the gospel and we are being transformed by his spirit and his word, then we are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Two simple principles this morning, and they tie in well together. Number one, it says we are the salt of the earth. Now you would know that before refrigeration, salt served a vital purpose as a preservative. The fishermen knew its value, and many of Jesus' followers were fishermen. They would get their catch, they would pack the fish in layers of salt to preserve the meat until they could get it to market. Salt was used primarily as a preservative. What did it do? It arrested corruption. It also added flavour. And you see, if you're a child of the living God, then the way in which you live preserves the goodness in society. The way in which you live ought to slow down the process of decay in our society. Decay in morality, in ethics. It ought to slow it down if you are in the world, if you are the salt of the earth. It also gives a tang to life like salt to a dish of food. Preserve, add flavour to. Those two things are part of that salt idea. And Tasker, one commentator, writes, we are to be a moral disinfectant in a world where moral standards are low, constantly changing or non-existent. But let me say something, you can't be the salt of the earth until you come out of the salt shaker. You can't have an influence and make a difference in the world unless you come out of that salt shaker and are poured into the world and enmeshed in it to have an influence. Whether it is, as we saw in that in those pictures of going to the needy around the world and the war zones and the AIDS-affected children or in the nursing homes or the hospitals, whatever it is, we need to come out of the salt shaker. We don't come to Christ and say, well, we're now Christians now, we're going to heaven. And we stay in the salt shaker. No, we've got to come out of the salt shaker into the world to make a difference. There is a book by Rebecca Manley Pippitt, and I read it back in my university days, called Out of the Salt Shaker. That's what the book's called. She writes this: "This book had its beginning before I became a Christian. Even though I had definite thoughts about the way people communicated what was important to them, and I remember once encountering a zealous Christian. He said his brow was furrowed, he seemed anxious and impatient, and he sounded angry. Then he told me God loved me. I couldn't help notice the difference between his message and his style. His message was arresting me, a sinner, but ultimately appealing a just and holy God who'd loved me deeply. But his style put me off. I recall thinking, if God is so good and loving, then why is this guy so uptight? Surely the way we communicate a message of good news should be as marvelous as the message itself." She writes, "This book is about getting our message and our style together." She continues, "Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount that we are the salt of the earth, and he challenges us not to lose our savour, our saltiness. This means, among other things, that we are to be active in the world as his representatives. We are to get out of the salt shaker and into life itself. It's not to be trodden down, but to be zestful witnesses to Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, as the one who alone gives life and meaning to a dying world." So in light of this, this week I put on Facebook, and thank you for those who responded to my request for a sermon illustration this morning. Most of you didn't, and God knows. But I said to people, this is what I put on Facebook: "Here am I, send me. Where is God sending you to serve him?" I said, "I need some real examples for Sunday morning, please." No, I didn't say please. Maybe that was the difference. One person wrote, "God is sending me to serve two unreached people groups." I know who the person that means: in the Villawood Detention Centre with asylum seekers. Afghanis and Iraqis who've left war zones, who are in our nation. We go in the love of Christ to serve them. Another man said, "I pioneered a singles ministry and a divorce recovery movement in Australia for nearly 26 years. Set it up. He saw the need of singles who don't have the support networks often of couples who then have families, and I saw a real need there, and God put it in my heart, and I stepped out into that ministry." Another fellow says, "God has sent me to high schools to take the gospel, part of our missionary team." Another woman said, "I'm still in the discerning phase, so I can't give details as to my future direction, but I've been sent to Japan and to make a best friend who became a Christian, to the UK to teach religious education, and currently to the Egyptian diaspora in Western Sydney." God just meant, wherever you are, you see, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be a missionary. Wherever you are, you're the salt. Another person wrote, "I know God called me to be a counsellor, and more recently to work with women who have experienced sexual assault and or domestic violence. Says, I've always been a very reluctant counsellor, and I sometimes ask God if he'd like to call me to a cheerier field of work. But I know for now this is where he wants me to be, and I know there is no greater joy than being in his will." Another fellow wrote, "I sometimes ask myself whether it was indeed the Lord who sent me to work in Liverpool Emergency rather than me choosing to do so. I don't know whether this fits the real example category, just a thought." In the emergency department, it's nice to know sometimes, isn't it? There's someone with the love of Christ in them, that they are there and they're going to do their best for Jesus to serve the hurting and the needy. And we can just list a whole bunch of other things. 70 of you, 80 of you, were here this week to serve 250 children and their families. There are people, as we prayed at Camp Tookley, working with children from disadvantaged homes for a week. Kids who don't have what our kids have. They don't have the love that our kids have. They don't have the resources that our kids have. But our girls, I think they were all girls from our church, amongst the team. They were all there this past week serving. There are those in Fiji serving at the moment. We have got workers who have gone to Bali and are working with Access Life with the disabled in the villages of Bali. Those who visit the Villawood Detention Centre. Those who go to a local school to teach scripture or do lunchtime programs. Salt, being in the society to make a difference. But friends, there are other ways you can be the salt, though. You can accept ethnic minorities. New people come to our nation. You might be careful of what movies you watch, what language you use. I remember being at my hairdresser and many years ago in the good old Marrickville days, and where he would start telling a really crude joke. And I don't laugh at the crude jokes. And I would sit there and he'd start telling him. I try to give him the hint every so often that really I didn't find, you know, sexist jokes are really funny. And I don't find those things. And I'm always trying to get the message across, because hopefully if he hears that I don't like that, maybe he will hold back from saying that to someone else. And what do you do in those situations? Are you able, by your very presence, not because you're a killjoy, but the very presence, you bring the standards of God into that community, onto a football field or a soccer team, amongst those parents when you're cheering on your kids? Are you the one that everyone says, that's a crazy parent over there? Or are they watching you react with grace and sure, you want to encourage your kids, but you're not the one telling the coach off afterwards and because he made some bad choices or didn't put your kid on or whatever it was? Are you the one who is adding salt into that community and stopping the fights? And sexual morality, are you living a way that honors God according to his word? Are you making a difference? Friends, so many different ways to be the salt of the earth. Dr. Lloyd-Jones writes, the glory of the gospel is that when the church is absolutely different from the world, because we are God's people, we are Christians, and let me say more and more in the Australian society, we are going to be distinct more and more as the society changes. She invariably attracts it. It is then that the world is made to listen to the message, though it may hate it at first. Now, people I know who have hated the church, have hated Jesus, when they come close and experience the love of God through Christian people, they start to ask questions and open up to the truth. But secondly, we are the light of the world. Jesus had previously said, I am the light of the world. Now he says to his disciples, you are the light of the world. And he uses two illustrations. The first one, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. City on a hill cannot be hidden. In other words, it's up there. You see it. It's visible. And it says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. The purpose of the light is that it would shine, that people would see it and recognize it. Light is for illumination. You know, I wonder sometimes, let me just give you a hint of something I've tried. In some places, I go in and one of my first conversations with people, when they say, hi, nice to meet you, how are you? I just drop in the Christian thing somewhere. I said, what do you do? They normally ask me, what do I do? I can't get away from that, really. I'm a pastor in a church. It labels you as a Christian. But sometimes they don't ask you that, and you just drop in the fact that you believe in God, you love Jesus. And that's trying to be that light immediately. It also guards you from sin, but also means that they know that you have a religious perspective that may lead to conversation. And sometimes I've tried the opposite. I've tried not to say anything and just fly under the radar, as they say. Don't just be normal, but just don't say anything spiritual. In a sense, cut that part of your life out of the conversations, which isn't a good thing. I think it's unnatural and ungodly to be doing that. But I just to see what happens. And what happens, it takes a very, very, very long time to have a conversation about God. When you hide the truth of who you are, rather than allowing it to come out, not in a pushy way, but just in a gentle, gracious way, as in a normal conversation. I support the St. George Dragons, you support the Rabbitohs. I follow Jesus, you follow, I don't know who you follow. Just let it come out naturally. Or you're an atheist, or you're Buddhist, or just let it come out. And God is saying, you are the light of the world. The point is, like a city up on a hill, you're meant to see it. Like a light, you don't put it under light. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. You're not meant to light it and then cover it. You're meant to expose it. Right? And let me say, I find when I out myself as a Christian, if you want to use that language, in places. You have the conversations about Jesus at the sporting field. You have him at the training session. You have him at work. You have it over doing your hobby. You have it because you are out there. They know. They may not want to talk to you, but someone who wants to talk knows who they can go and talk to about Jesus. And the missionary C.T. Studd said, "Some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." In other words, he was saying, I don't just want to be confined to this building. I don't just want to be confined to bringing people into this building for holiday club or playtime or kids club, and we're serving the community and those things, but not just here, but where we go. 1,000 people, Nowy Baptist Church, each day going out in Jesus' name, wherever you go, it's the salt and the light to present the message of Jesus. But in this context, let me say the light is not simply speaking the gospel. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So the light here is not simply the spoken word, but it is the good deeds you do, demonstrating the love and compassion of Christ, praying for those in need, visiting the sick, giving to those who are hurting, whatever it happens to be. I remember a story I read about a guy called Earl Palmer. He had a little book called The Enormous Exception. He tells the story of a pre-med student at the University of California who became a Christian after a long journey through doubts and questions. When they asked him, what tipped the balance for you? You didn't believe at the beginning. How did you move to being a person of faith? He said, well, during the previous term, the pre-med student had been very ill with the flu and as a result had missed 10 days of school. Very simple thing, 10 days he'd missed. Without any fanfare or complaints, his Christian classmate collected all of his class assignments. These are the days before you could just go to the computer, right, and download them all. He collected all the class assignments and took time away from his own studies to help him catch up. Spent time with him. Collected it, thought about him, spent time with him. The pre-med student told Palmer, you know, this kind of thing just isn't done. I wanted to know what made this guy act the way he did. I even found myself asking if I could go to church with him. Do the good works, serve people with love and compassion and mercy, and then people will ask the question, will want to know more. You know, Don Carson writes this, prison reform, medical care, trade unions, control of a perverted and perverting liquor trade, abolition of slavery, abolition of child labour, establishment of orphanages, reform of the penal code. In all these areas, the followers of Jesus spearheaded the drive for righteousness. The church was at the forefront, friends, of all of this. So when someone today says, well, you know, Christians don't do anything, we do this, where did you come from? Where did the universities come from? Where did your education systems come from? Let me tell you where they came from. They came from the Church of Jesus Christ. Christians, salt and light in the community, making a difference, and we need to keep at that, keep at it. And we do it through Baptist Community Services and Salvation Army, and it's a program on television this morning. I don't know what you do in the morning. I get up and watch television and read my sermon notes and see what's happened in the world. And there was a story on homelessness and how the Salvation Army have a place in Surrey Hills amongst all the multimillionaires, where they are helping people get back on the road to life, a place to live, a place where they can eat. Now, one of the most moving things a fellow said to our congregation when I was at Springwood Baptist was this. We'd sent one of our young women in her 20s to Ghana in West Africa to serve as a missionary. Saw the need, felt God wanted her to go. Said, here am I, send me. And Joe, Dr. Joe from Ghana, he came and he worked for World Vision. And he just stood up in our church, and one of the first things he said was this. He said, I'm glad to share in your church today. For I understand that you have sent us one of your daughters. And just that expression gets me every time. You didn't just send this girl, you sent us one of your daughters. Sent us one of your sons. In other words, you sent part of your family to bless us right across the globe. And we'll listen to what he had to say. Friends, whatever it is God wants you to do, to be the salt, be the light, can I urge you to do it? Because the question you and I have to ask today Am I doing it? Because we could be doing, you could be doing exactly what God wants you to do, but maybe you're not. And God's saying to you, well, maybe you need to step up in some areas of your life, in mercy and generosity and compassion in some areas. Maybe you need to try something different. Maybe you just need to go with courage into your workplace, into your school or university, whatever it happens to be. Go with courage, knowing God is with you, to make a difference. You will have heard that a group of people called the Random Act of Kindness, and where people just do random acts of kindness, and it's been around for a few years now. But I read about where it started. This is how it worked. It says, Chuck Waller, human relations instructor at Bakersfield College in California, was watching the news one day when a cliche from a broadcaster stuck in his mind. Another random act of senseless violence. He heard that and he went, another random act of senseless violence. And he got an idea, he says. He gave an unusual assignment to his students. They were to do something out of the ordinary to help someone and then write an essay about it. Go and do something out of the ordinary and write about it. He dreamed up a bumper sticker that said, today I will commit one random act of senseless kindness, will you? The students sold the bumper stickers with which a bank and a union paid to have printed for $1 each, and the profits went to the Country Braille Centre. From this random act of kindness, one student paid his mother's utility bills. Another student bought 30 blankets from the Salvation Army and took them to homeless people gathered under a bridge. He says the idea took hold. The bumper sticker was slapped on all 113 country or county patrol cars, trumpeted from pulpits in schools and in professional associations. And after seeing the success, Chuck Wall said this, I had no idea it would erupt like this. I had no idea our community was in such need of something positive. Friends, the Church of Jesus Christ, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, ought to be at the forefront of showing grace and mercy to our community. At times, our world is negative and dark. Jesus calls us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I urge you, I challenge you, to let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Dare you say, dare I say to God, here am I, send me. We pray. Lord, we want to say, here am I, send me. Lord, we need courage and faith. We need the power of your Holy Spirit. We need the gospel on our lips. And we need the compassion of Christ in our hearts. Thank you for the wonderful things you are doing already through this church and the people of this church in a variety of areas, locally and globally. Lord, show us what you want us to do. Help us to do it and help us to make a difference that men and women would turn back to you and glorify you for your mercy. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.